informative, local, dependable.
Of movement up front, not a flag, and there we're going deep. Pee Wee Jarrett's got a man down the side. Touchdown, Argos! Man. We were just saying, Coach Shoemaker and I were just saying, we got to take a deep shot. And that, when is it going to happen? And I would have done it last drive, but we do it this drive. Caleb Nobles channeling Pete Shinnick, and let's go deep.
Yeah, man, that was a pretty sweet 51-yard touchdown strike. Just after they had been complaining, Will Kennedy and Coach had been complaining about how the offense for the Argos wasn't the big shots like it had been in the past, and then, half the field, boom, to John Giles. Runaway victory for the UWF Argos in their first game of the season against Kentucky Wesleyan, 35-3. Joining us now, we have Kate Thomas, who is starting her own show on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Sports drive in the morning, 7:30 tomorrow. Not today for Labor Day, but tomorrow she'll be on. Kate, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, yeah, it's great to have you. I'm looking forward to this. I don't want him to listen to you. I want him to listen to me, but I'll give you a chance. no, that's going to be awesome for people who might not have realized. We have Cat Country, and we have the playlist, and we have ESPN Pensacola as one of our cluster stations. And I don't think we've ever had a local morning show, and you're going to start this sports drive in the morning starting tomorrow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of one of the things, I was excited about was to have the morning show because, if I'm going to go out and be at these sporting events and be able to have coaches and all of that, that's what kind of makes it all work. So I'll be able to have guests, on and it's going to be during a time where those coaches and athletes, are really available to come on. So I'm excited about that.
So is it going to be like all the sports, everything, all big national and local, more of a focus on local, whatever's interesting that day? What's your kind of goal for the show?
Well, it's kind of going to be a mix of everything you just said. So obviously anything that's, newsworthy, just like news. There's sporting news,
right?
So there's a lot of updates constantly that are going on. So obviously going to cover those, but I want to put a big emphasis on local too, be able to cover teams like UWF and the Wahoos and the Ice Flyers and everyone else, but then also, state and national, because here in the state of Florida, and really just locally, we have so many talented athletes and teams and just a lot of talent down here that we get to showcase. So there's going to be times, where we're covering everything, but it will still have a Florida focus.
Outstanding. So you got to go to your first Argos game because you're relatively new to the area. Between us, I think we watched the whole game. You watched the first half. I listened to the second half. I don't know. My alarms failed, and I just didn't even realize it was happening until it was already in the second half. But what did you think of the first half, and especially Pee Wee Jarrett, the scramble-slash-passer extraordinaire?
Yeah, Pee Wee Jarrett is an incredible talent. I was at their scrimmage, and I've been kind of covering them since I've been here, I guess, this season, watch what they were doing in fall camp, and then it was really cool to be there for their first game. Pee Wee Jarrett is an absolute rock star. I mean, he can get the yards, whether it's through the air or on the ground. He had a rushing touchdown, and I was looking at the amount of total offense for UWF Argos in this game was 403 total yards of offense, which was absolutely crazy. They had 261 passing yards, 142 rushing yards, and then Pee Wee Jarrett was 19 of 22 on his passing. So, I mean,
sick QB rating.
Just an absolute, and one of the things that was really interesting when we went to UWF Media Day, because Caleb Nobles is the head football coach for the Argos, and Pee Wee Jarrett said, well, one of the things, Coach Nobles came up to me and said was, I can make you better.
Nice.
So
it's true.
Him and Coach, it is true. And just for Pee Wee, a lot of it is him being able to get a quicker release, when he's throwing the ball, and then just being able to make better reads and checks down the field. And you were really able to see that through the game. They were just extremely dominant. 35-3 was the final score. They were up 21-3 at the half. And then it's really the guys that are around them too. I haven't covered this team that often, but there is something that seems different and unique about this particular team. whether I don't know. I feel like it's the culture and kind of the brotherhood that these guys, you know, have already started to build.
Yeah,
you know, we only saw the one game for the season so far.
Yeah, no, what Coach Shinnick left behind is really a legacy of not just winning football and great recruiting, but it's that culture of excellence and a culture of brotherhood and a culture of, you know, men first, faith first, family first. Football is a what we do, not a who we are, and, you know, that's just – and, you know, it's a beautiful thing to watch. And it's good to see Caleb Nobles get his first win under his belt, you know, because they're going to be heading into some tester games here in 2 weeks. I don't know how, you know, how much next week McKendree is going to be much of a challenge. We'll see. But, you know, Florida A&M, we're playing FAMU in 2 weeks. That's going to be a big challenge.
Yeah, that is going to be a big challenge. And one of the things that a lot of the Argo players know is they know that everyone's kind of, you know, out to get them. They were ranked number 7 coming into the preseason. And so they've kind of got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder knowing that they need to just play their absolute best, you know, day in and day out, essentially. And kind of, you know, what you were saying about Coach Shimmick, you know, Coach Nobles has a lot of those same qualities. One of the things that they say at the Argos is they say champions for life. And what they mean by that, it's not just like on the field. It's also off the field. But yeah, they're definitely going to be tested with Florida A&M. And I like that they kind of have, you know, I don't know if I want to call it a scarier schedule, but, you know, they're playing, you know, more difficult teams because that's where you really kind of develop as a team and you learn who you are and you're able to see your strengths and weaknesses as well.
No, it's going to be good. And I hope that FAMU gets beat up a little bit by USF the week before. I also hope they don't beat us up, at least just, you know, because you can win a game and still lose the future games because of the physicality against West Georgia coming up the very next week after that. But I have a lot of optimism for this team. We certainly have a legacy of winning. Since you're going to be on the radio, since you're going to be talking about all of this starting tomorrow, 7:30 again, we're talking to Kate Thomas, a new show that we're launching tomorrow on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola, 13:30 a.m. and 99.1 FM Sports Drive in the morning with Kate Thomas. Kate, I have to ask you a question. There was another football game yesterday. It may not be your favorite game of the year, coming as you do from, don't hold it against her, Louisiana.
Won that?
But a guy named Keon Coleman, a transfer student from Michigan State, did not one, not two, but three touchdown pass catches for FSU yesterday. Here's just one of them for a sampling.
Looping throw for the end zone. Battle. Coleman. Touchdown. Went up and got the football over Major Burns.
21 points for your brand new transfer student. FSU looks pretty tough this year.
Yeah, FSU, I already kind of knew going into this game that they were going to be, you know, it was going to be a difficult one for LSU. There was still a lot of hype, you know, because LSU came in ranked number 5, FSU came in ranked number 8. But Jordan Travis, you know, this is the thing. LSU may have been up at the half. You know, they were up 17-14 at the half. But what I think it was FSU just needed to kind of shake off some of those kind of first game jitters. It's a lot. I don't know if you saw the crowd or not at the game, but it looks predominantly like, you know, Seminole fans, and they had their war chant going on, and I'm pretty sure they played that the entire game.
Yeah. It's been a long drought for the Seminoles, let's be fair.
It has. And, you know, they haven't won a top 10 matchup in the first game like that since 2016, Andrew, actually. So it's huge for them. You know, I may be an LSU alumna, but I will tell you this. It was really good to see FSU come out on top, come out as dominant as they were. Like you said, Keon Coleman, him and Jordan Travis just have such a chemistry.
Yeah.
It's one of the things they actually kind of talked about on the broadcast. Something that him and Travis did, you know, throughout gearing up for this season was even after practice, they would stay late, you know, and he would throw to them. And that's just when you have an experienced team like the FSU Seminoles are this year, they've got such a veteran team. They even had one of their guys stay who had a chance to go over to the NFL draft and decided, hey, no, I'm going to stay here, you know, another year with my team. I think this might be the year for the FSU Seminoles.
Wow.
I knew it was going to be a challenge coming in for LSU. And Mike Norvell, gosh, it was so nice to see him get a win. He's kind of had a lot of heat surrounding him because, you know, anytime you're a coach, you know, really down in the South, they expect you to win all the time. So if you're not coming, you know, in with winning records all the time, they're going to say, hey, do we need to fire you? And so you could just see that he was so pleased. And I mean, wow, what a game that they called, especially in the second half. So
absolutely.
Was really, you know, disappointed for the LSU Tigers. But, you know, I'm here in Florida now, and I will be doing a lot of Florida coverage. And
She hasn't given up her loyalty, but she's able to cover it all evenly. Kate, hang on for a second, because I had one other thing that I wanted to ask you about. Let's get a quick super late traffic from Candy.
This is brought to you by Lowe's. Labor Day. Wow, that's today. Shop Labor Day appliance savings at Lowe's. Now's the time to refresh your kitchen for less. Lowe's knows home improvement and not showing anything on the roads. Looks like everything is fine, not showing any problems on 87. Taking a look in Milton. It looks like 98 clear all the way into Alabama. If you see an accident or a slowdown, traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. All right, I do have one other one that I wanted to ask you about, Kate. Again, we're talking to Kate Thomas, host of Sports Drive from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. starting tomorrow on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola, 13:30 a.m. and 99.1 FM. Do you think, this is where we get to the opinion part of the show, $29.5 million for Deion Sanders last December to come to Colorado. They had to do all kinds of crazy things in order to get that money for him. How's that investment looking after one game beating TCU?
I have so many thoughts about
this. I think I saw him on an Aflac commercial with Coach Saban, by the way.
yes, he did. Look, they had to really do everything to get the win against TCU, 45-42. Do I agree with how much they paid him? That's a lot of money. If the university has it, if the boosters are supporting it, then hey, I mean, Colorado hasn't been good for many years. TCU was extremely dominant last year, playing in the college football playoffs. I mean, also losing to Georgia by a lot. But I mean, look, I think that Deion Sanders is Deion Sanders. They call him Coach Prime for a reason. He came in, he got rid of basically the entire team. That was what I didn't particularly agree with. But look, that's kind of the state of college football now. Now that you've got the NIL, now that you've got the transfer portal, guys are going to where they want to play, and they know that they're going to get playing time, and they want to play for a good coach because ultimately it's about their futures. And look, he's a good coach. He's a player's coach. Players, you know, surround him. And I think he's probably going to bring that program back to where it needs to be. So maybe it's money well spent.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach. And, I mean, you don't know that they would have, you know, it wouldn't have been the end of the universe if they'd have lost, but they obviously shocked the football world being able to pull off that big unexpected upset with him at the helm. So we will see what the rest of the season holds. Kate Thomas, you can hear all kinds of good comments and reporting and local and all kinds of stuff from her. She is, I'll just tell you this, her background is in TV, covering, you know, sports for television, being a sideline reporter, among other things. And she's incredibly good at what she does. Kate Thomas is the new host of Sports Drive on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola. That, again, is tomorrow, starting tomorrow at 7:30 to 8:30, 13:30 a.m. and 99.1 FM. Kate, thanks for having some time for us this morning. Always good to see you in the office. And we look forward to the show tomorrow morning.
Thanks so much, Andrew. It's been a blast. I hope everyone comes and checks it out. Again,
one last thing, because I have to, War Eagle. 6:52 on News Radio. Hey, we won. You know, that's good. We won. 6:52.
Hey, we could say go Tigers.
There you go. We can both say go Tigers. You spell it different than I do, but that's right. 6:52.